The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Sitting on a bar stool, kind of short and kind of square, through the foam in his mustache, his voice filled the air. Talking about a state of mind, son. Talking about the state of Jefferson. It's a wave on a dusty road. It's a logger's heavy load. It's a cattle on the hill. It's a range full of thrills. It's a way of life. Settles in your soul.
Settles in your soul.
Settles in your soul.
It does.
It does.
Hey, Wynn.
Hey, Terry.
Hey, Travis.
Hey, Travis.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Frankie.
Hey, Frankie.
Frankie. Hello. Our Sergeant of Arms.
Sergeant of Arms. Well, this is Terry Raposa, Wynn Carpenter, and we are here at KCNR, where you can listen in at 96.5 FM, where the music sounds better, 1460 AM.
When it was on, because it wasn't on when I was driving in.
Oh, there, which isn't on now. What, AM or FM?
It was FM that was out.
Oh.
It was off.
Well, that just means you just have to listen to the music on 1460 AM.
There you go.
And you can also go to KCNR1460.com and listen live. And we are archived. And, of course, we podcast worldwide. And I have a couple of quick announcements. We do a podcast every Monday. We do it live at 9:30 AM. But we'll be doing it actually recording it at 9:30. It'll be coming out at 6 at night, and there'll be a chat room and the whole bit. But we've been doing that for about 10 weeks, 12 weeks now.
Yeah, it's been a bit, yeah.
About 12 weeks. And we just did one episode. You can find this, by the way, with searching Jefferson State of Mind, M-I-N-E. That's Jefferson State of Mind, M-I-N-E. You can search engine that to Facebook. We are on Apple Podcast at this point. Audio only, and also we are on Mountaintop Media.
And Spotify.
And Spotify. And you go to Mountaintop Media, you can watch it. Janet Channer just did one with my partner here, Wynn Carpenter. They did a great job, and they talked about the Jefferson Constitution. We're probably going to have three programs on that. It was an amazing program. When it first came out on Facebook, there was a little bit of trouble. It was sort of broken up into different parts, but now they've got that fixed. So if you search engine Jefferson State of Mind, you can go to episode 12, and it'll be right there. It will be right there in its entirety, and she did just an amazing job. It's a treat to listen to her, but more importantly, the Jefferson Constitution is out for you to review, folks. So, with that, Wynn, how was your Saturday, buddy?
Saturday was great.
Good.
We had family come in from out of town. They're good. Here for the holiday on Thursday. They usually spend a week with us when they come out. So it's good to have everybody there.
I went to Siskiyou County yesterday, and there was a lot of people on the road. I was surprised. The gas stations were all backed up, and I was pretty surprised because, you know, it is a week before. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the way it falls this year, it seems to me like the kids got out. Did they get out last Friday or something?
Yep, they got out Friday. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Well, the thing is, too, the news was reporting that I think it was either Thursday or Friday, I can't remember which day, but one of those days had record day of flights, not just flights, but people being transported within flights since pre-COVID. So
really?
What does that tell you? People are comfortable about being amongst each other. If you're going to get into a tube, you know, that's 300 feet long and you're flying all over the world and they're comfortable doing that, what does that tell you? People aren't scared of the garbage.
Oh, yeah. On Friday, we met with our new sheriff, Mike Johnson, meaning we was Katie Gorman, who's a young school teacher, and we met with him. We were there for about an hour and a half and had a good discussion about many things, including the Second Amendment, open carry, etc. And Katie, tomorrow, will be on our podcast that will be showing live at 9:30 tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
But then, again, like I was saying, we'll be moving that. You can go to Mountaintop Media tomorrow morning and watch that live. some of the things that she was telling the sheriff and some of the things that we were talking about of what's happening to the kids in this county, the young kids that are going to school, and what masking does to them, and all these different things that I know that the sheriff was taken back. I know he was taken back. We didn't see eye to eye on everything. I mean, who does? But I'll tell you this. He was certainly appalled by some of the things that she was telling him. This has gotten out of hand, folks. When you have children, five-year-olds, six-year-olds, that are being abused by the school system and by these boards, I mean, something really has to be done. Anyway, she's going to tell that story tomorrow in its entirety. You may know who Katie Gorman is. Her husband, Arthur, also has been very vocal. He's a nurse, and he's been very vocal with the Board of Supervisors, and they were on Fox News. Mm-hmm. So along with Krista and Martin Reed. So, you know, it was it's really been something how Shasta County has come to the forefront. The program just before us, Jefferson Unabashed, I recommend everybody go back and listen to that. Jefferson Unabashed. Go back and listen to that program.
Liberty Unabashed.
Oh, is it Liberty?
Yeah.
Did I say Jefferson?
Yeah.
You did.
Did I say Jefferson Unabashed?
Twice.
You did.
Twice.
It's okay, though.
No, I said it three times. Jefferson Unabashed.
Liberty.
Matt, you need to change your name.
Liberty.
It is Liberty, isn't it?
Liberty Unabashed.
So what do you get when you have Liberty? You just get what? Representation. Well, how do you get representation? Smaller states. So it's Jefferson Unabashed. Anyway, so with Liberty Unabashed, you need to go back and listen to that. Matt did a great job. He had Dolores Lucero on, and there's a lot of different views of what happened to her, but, you know, the real deal is that she was basically, she was sideswiped politically. There's no question about it. Kind of like Carlos Zapata. Here you have a young man like Carlos Zapata who goes to court on something that is a lower than low level misdemeanor, lower than a parking ticket.
If it is a misdemeanor.
If it is a misdemeanor. And the county probably spent close to $1 million on that. That's just unbelievable to me. We just had a young man that was acquitted of five charges in Wisconsin.
Yeah. Yeah.
It seems to be running rampant. At least the judge there, unlike the judge there scolded the DA.
Mm-hmm.
How in the hell do you even have any kind of trial?
Well,
something like that. I mean, for something like, you know, somebody allegedly spilling water on somebody else?
Sounds like the judge there in Wisconsin knows the Constitution, is not afraid to use the Constitution, and also knows the rules of the court, and is not afraid to use the rules of the court for the people who are being, having to defend themselves from the state. So he did, in my opinion, what he was supposed to do. He did not let anything just slide. He didn't just let all these little petty things slide going through the process. Heck, if they couldn't even measure the barrel length of the gun, you know,
yeah.
I mean, that was just one issue.
Yeah.
But there was a plethora of things that were out of whack for that case. And it sounds like that prosecution team did not do their homework. And had they done their homework, maybe the outcome would have been differently. But I don't think they did their homework.
Well,
if there was homework to be done.
Yeah, if there was homework to be done. I mean, obviously, it was a railroad job.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, and that's the same thing they did with Carlos. And, I mean, I am so tired of this district attorney in this town and the things that she's done. I mean, you know, if you speak out against her, you know, who knows who's going to visit you.
Right.
And guys, are you, and gals, are you okay with this corruption? Are you okay with this overreach of government? One of the things that the sheriff and I did talk about on Friday was, you know, basically the understanding that this is different than being a police chief. Being a police chief, you serve at the pleasure of the city manager. Being a sheriff, you serve at the pleasure of the people.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, you know, I think he's a genuine guy. I'm not in his shoes. I can't really say, you know, what he's going through as far as learning the job. It was interesting, though, because when we first went inside the sheriff's office, the young gal who brought us up to see the sheriff, Katie and I, I was saying, well, it looks like people are going to the third floor now, because at the time Greening was there, people wouldn't even go to the third floor. They wouldn't even go upstairs. And it was, and she laughed and she goes, yeah, she goes, people will actually go upstairs and make a left where the sheriff is. And, you know, so this, and then with McGreeny, being, with McGreeny being completely, I want to say something without saying it, but the people disdained the job that he did that worked with him. They absolutely had no love for this guy. A no confidence vote from anybody and everybody. Here this guy moves to the assistant CEO position in the county with a $36,000 a year raise. Or excuse me, 36% raise. 36% raise. Well, it might have been $36,000.
Probably more than that.
Maybe.
Well, how does someone go from working in the sheriff's department and, you know, being able to watch what the sheriff has been doing and then not be able to mimic any of that? How does that work? I mean, if you're trying to leave your own mark on it, put your own fingerprints on the job, then you would think that you would do some of what was done before. I mean, if nothing else, hopefully your relationship was good enough that you could call them and say, hey, what about this? What about that? Instead of just go, you know, if the training wheels worked, then why didn't you keep him on the bike? You know, what was going on? Why did he go off the rails so quickly and so badly? What happened? What really happened? Was it done on purpose? Was it accidental? Was it just through ignorance of the job? Was it,
no.
Who knows? I mean, you've got to ask all those questions to find out what's really going on.
You're listening to this, Mark Baird. How are you, my friend?
Good morning, Mark.
Morning, guys. How are you?
Good. And you?
Oh, good. Every day's a blessing.
Amen. So what's happening with you in Siskiyou County?
Well, it's not so much what's happening here. It's what's happening out in the rest of the world. I mean, you know, we're still proceeding with the Second Amendment case, and I heard you talk about the sheriff, and I know Terry went in to talk to him about Second Amendment issues. But, you know, just a little side note, the police have no duty and no responsibility to protect you from crime or violence or anything else, and that's in California Government Code 821, 845, and 846. And it's also been illustrated in several Supreme Court cases how the government has no duty to protect an individual. They have a general duty to protect society as a whole. But let's just take Saturday night in Walnut Creek at Nordstrom's.
Right.
Where 25 cars block the roads and a gang of young people run in with crowbars and loot the entire store. And a couple of employees, one got pepper sprayed, a couple of got punched and kicked. And guess how many people got arrested out of 25 cars? So I don't know how many people were in the robbery gang, but there were at least 25 because each car had to have a driver, and possibly more, three. Because by the time the cops got there, it was all over.
Yep. Wow.
So do you need a Second Amendment? You know, I don't know.
Yeah, you know, and that's an interesting point, you know, because, you know, one of the remarks he made was, you know, well, you know, if we keep getting calls, you know, when people are nervous about seeing somebody walking around with a weapon, and we get these calls, and I've got to look out for my guys. And I said, no, you've got to look out for the public. Your job, your employers now are not a city manager. You're not a police chief anymore. What you are is a sheriff, and you're employed by the people. That's who you protect. You stand between them and tyranny. That's where you stand. And frankly, if you know, like you said, you know, they have no obligation to protect the people. I mentioned that too. I mean, and Mark, you said it 100 times. You know, and I think this is the best line, one of the best lines you ever came up with. And that is when you said, you know, why is it out of all the rights we have and all the amendments, why is it that the Second Amendment is the only one we need permission for?
Exactly, because, you know, when people say that the Constitution is outdated and the progressives are all over this, we need to change the Constitution. They were antiquated and we're modern, and they couldn't have imagined semi-automatic weapons of war in those days, which is a lie. They did very much imagine them. They even had some. And also, in those days, you could own a pirate ship with cannons on it. You could own any weapon the military could own. It was encouraged. The people were supposed to stand against established tyranny, period. That's what they were doing on April 19, 1775. That's a lesson we've apparently forgotten. But they're very fond of saying, well, the government is here to protect us, and they're not, and they can't. They couldn't even if they wanted to. And so what the government would like to do is try to disarm everyone so that they're the only ones with the guns. And I know that that's true because it's been tried before. Mao did it. And look how that turned out for their people. I mean, Stalin did it. Look how that turned out. Hugo Chavez and Maduro have done it in Venezuela. Look how that turned out. Hitler did it in 1934. Look how that turned out for their people. And I could go on and on and on. I mean, I've seen this model of government fail all over the world. And when the government says to you, a citizen, well, we don't want you to have the ability to defend yourself because my employees might be afraid of that. Well, that's, to me, when you put it in that perspective, now they are there to serve the public. They're there to protect people's property and investigate crimes and things like that. When they say that, well, American citizens don't have the right to self-defense unless we say you do, well, that's easy. We'll just say you don't.
Yeah, it was a tough nut to crack. I mean, it's kind of like, you know, he's concerned about the jail, the state taking away funds from the jail. I guess that, I mean, it was sort of an innuendo, but apparently.
What does that have to do with anything?
Exactly. You know, and, you know, it isn't that, you know, that's the thing. It isn't that the guy doesn't mean well, but you kind of scratch your head a little bit and you go, okay, but how do you rectify this? And Mark, you know, I'll say it again
I
think it's.
Let me say this: the Constitution was meant to protect us from the good intentions of well-meaning tyrants.
Yes, exactly.
They mean well, but they mean to govern. They mean to be good masters, but they mean to be your master. And they thought of that. Daniel Webster said that in 1825. You know, none of these things are new. Well-intentioned, benevolent dictators have been in existence since society was created, and they're going to continue to try to keep you subjugated as long as there is a society. I mean, the personal freedoms are just that. They're personal. The Bill of Rights is a list of personal freedoms, not government freedoms. People have rights. Governments can't have rights. They're inanimate objects. Only people can have rights. And if you have the right to keep and bear arms, and that right shall not be infringed, then what on earth are we doing asking permission for it?
There you go. It's like evil doesn't like to be challenged. They don't want to be challenged. They don't want to have to explain their standing on what they're doing, because their mindset is that they're in power, they're in control, they are the dictators, and we are just the serfs. And that's how they're looking at it, and that's how they're operating.
Absolutely, and they're also lining up for their next attack, because Kyle Rittenhouse was acquitted on his self-defense case, and believe me, the forces, the anti-liberty forces, are lining up on that one. Oh, that actually, I'm not really sure if that was a bad thing for them, because now the new narrative is starting to form, and you can listen to these talking idiots on the different news programs, and they have a different narrative now that they're starting to parrot from one another. He crossed state lines to murder people. What does that mean? If you cross a state line, you're a criminal? He crossed a state line in order to murder people. Well, first of all, we are free to travel, last time I looked anyway, but that might be the new thing. Well, you know, if you travel across state lines, extra protections may be needed against the individual citizen of the United States who wants to travel with a device you use to protect yourself in the event of criminal activity or deadly harm. I mean, so now they're going to start restricting that more. They're trying to find new ways to say, oh, weapon of war, the most powerful rifle in the world. I mean, gosh, if the AR-15 is the most powerful rifle in the world, we are in serious trouble. because that's like a modified 22 caliber rifle.
Yep.
You know, you can't even hunt deer with the thing. It's too lightweight and not powerful enough, actually, in the eyes of the state of California anyway. If that were the most powerful rifle on earth, why aren't people hunting elephants with it? It's just, you know, some of these statements that they make are so ludicrous and so idiotic, but the uneducated jump on them. Well, we were talking about gun stores, and I'm not going to name the store in particular, but I'm sure you guys know what it is. But in this particular gun store, every single employee is packing a gun, and it's right out on their hip for all the world to see. How many people do you think would consider robbing that store in broad daylight?
Zero.
Exactly. Now, let's look at Nordstrom's in Walnut Creek, very upscale neighborhood in the Bay Area, and, you know, no guns allowed, gun-free zone. Contra Costa County does not issue permits. You can't get government permission to protect yourself in Contra Costa County. It's very difficult, if not impossible. Although it's probably possible if you give $5,000 to the sheriff's reelection campaign, you could probably get permission then. But 25 cars block the road, a gang of kids goes in there, loots the entire store, beating up whoever they want to, escape with the goods, and very few of them are brought to justice.
Well, one of the things I heard yesterday was that, you know, if we have a situation where people are over carrying and the officers have to go everywhere, the sheriff deputies have to go everywhere and put out these fires, then who's going to be there to protect us? And I said, it's not your job to protect us. And you're even saying it's not, you know, all of a sudden this, you know, and I think part of the disconnect there is the fact that being a police chief is a lot different in a small town than it is being sheriff of a county. And, you know, I'm not making excuses. I'm just saying that you could see a lot of parallels there. It's just like, you know, the old thing of, well, I have to follow the law. Well, you know, you didn't take an oath to a law. You took an oath to the Constitution. You took an oath to protect and defend that. That's your job. That's the oath you took. You didn't take an oath to the law because, as you know, some laws that are legal are not lawful. And the way you find that benchmark is with the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of California. And there's a reason in Article 20.
Well, no law.
Why you do the Constitution of California first and then the state constitution.
And there's no law enforcement officer that can protect you. I mean,
How would they do that?
They would have to have one for everybody roaming around the city streets.
Ridiculous.
And that's not feasible. That's not possible. It's not justifiable. And they're there to come in and deal with the aftermath if an issue or an incident occurs. That's what they do. And then they do their best to find the perpetrator if they're not still there, and they try to help clean up the mess of what happens there. But that's it. They're not going to be able to help you with your security and your safety. That's your job as a sovereign citizen of the state in which you live and the country that we all live in. That's your job, and that's why a lot of these other states that allow, honor the Constitution, I shouldn't even say allow, but they honor the Constitution and follow the Constitution that the citizens can carry, what kind of crime rates do they have, and how do those police officers deal with it? Do they feel secure with it? Do they feel okay with it? If they're grateful that people are able to carry because the crime rate is down, and they know that, you know, if they see somebody do an open carry, they know that, okay, they're good to go. They don't have to worry about it. How do they deal with it, and how do our law enforcement officers that are claiming that they couldn't handle it, say, here locally, then what are they doing in law enforcement?
Well, there's 45 states that allow open carry.
I've got a better question.
We got 1 minute, Mark.
For more than two centuries, in Spanish California, Mexican California, California Republic, and United States California, for more than two centuries, open carry of a loaded weapon was not only absolutely unregulated, but it was absolutely unremarkable, and cops and everybody dealt with it, and it seems to me, because I grew up here, like they dealt with it just fine. So what's the difference now, as opposed to back before 2013, say, or 2012, when the last vestige of the Second Amendment was erased from California? I mean, how come cops can't deal with it now, but they could deal with it for a couple of hundred years before then?
Well, when I had mentioned that 45 states have open carry to the sheriff, and I mentioned that I think it's 35 of them that you probably can walk in, buy the gun, put it on your hip after a 10-minute background check, and out the door you go. He said, "Well, isn't that just certain counties in different states?" And I'm sitting there thinking, "Man, oh man, oh man, oh man," you know, do some research, you know.
Hey, ignorance is bliss.
What was that, brother?
Ignorance is bliss,
yeah. Unbelievable. Okay, well, I guess since we're at an impasse here, we will go off to the break and keep Travis out of trouble. And when we get back, Mark, I'd like you to update us on the court cases that are happening around the United States for trying to stop all these illegal mandates, if you will, and illegal laws in taking away our Second Amendment rights. So stay with us through the break, my good friend, and time has come.
Verse 51.
Let's get it done.
Amen.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
North State Now is a magazine-formatted show at 6 p.m. every Thursday night. The first Thursday is yours truly, Linda Bott, featuring what's going on in our town. The second Thursday is hosted by Michelle Slade, featuring heroes of the North State. The third Thursday is hosted by none other than James Masada and Rhonda Alvey from Enjoy the Magazine and Enjoy the Store. Our newest edition is the fourth Thursday of the month, Women of Vision. That's North State Now, Thursday at 6 p.m., also streaming on KCNR1460.com.
Happy holidays from Redding Electric Utility, your community-owned electric utility for 100 years. On behalf of all REU employees, we are wishing you a safe and happy holiday season. Please remember, holiday safety starts with you. Never overload an extension cord or electrical circuit. Make sure extension cords and lights are rated for outdoor use. And remember never to expose electrical outlets or connections to rain. Redding Electric Utility has been honored to serve you in 2021 and wishes you and your family a happy and healthy new year.
All of us at Crown Motors want to take this opportunity to thank our veterans, active duty, and first responders for their service to our country and community. We also wish to express our appreciation to the families of these heroes who also have sacrificed to keep our nation and our community safe. Have a wonderful holiday season, and remember that everything you do is so appreciated by your neighbors, community, and the people at Crown Motors of Reading.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oldie but a goodie.
Wynn has something that has just come to light that he wants to read, and we'll substantiate that. Mark, you're going to love this. Listen up, my good friend. You're going to love this.
Okay, this is a quote shared by one of our followers on the chat room, and Terry, confirm it. It says, quote, while I fully support the Second Amendment and the right of people to keep and bear arms, I am unwilling to allow individuals to carry in an exposed manner. Michael L. Johnson, Sheriff Coroner, 2021.
Wow. Can you read that again? Read that again, please.
Quote,
unbelievable.
While I fully support the Second Amendment and the right of people to keep and bear arms, I am unwilling to allow individuals to carry in an exposed manner. End of quote. Michael L. Johnson, Sheriff Coroner, 2021.
Wow. I know when we were with him. Go ahead.
Let me ask this question then. If he fully supports the right of the people, and a right is defined as something that you do because God gave you the ability, the wherewithal, and the intestinal fortitude, and so on, and it requires no government permission because Murdoch v. Pennsylvania says rights can't be turned into permissions, and you can't charge a fee for the exercise of a right. So the Supreme Court says rights require no permission and can't be permission, or they're not rights. And so he says, while I support the right of the people to carry a weapon, I, a single state actor with no right of appeal, and no one made him in charge of my personal liberty, I cannot support people who want to carry a weapon exposed. I cannot allow it, I think he said, right? Is that what the quote said?
Yes.
I cannot allow it. Well, if a single state actor can disallow your right to life and the ability to protect that life, it ain't much of a right, is it?
Yeah, that,
exactly.
He said something similar to Katie and I yesterday, or Friday, excuse me. I don't know why I keep thinking today is Saturday. I must have missed it yesterday. Yesterday was Tuesday. Oh, that's why I went to Siskiyou County. Anyway, yeah, you know, he said the same thing to us, that basically, you know, he supports the Second Amendment, he's a Second Amendment guy, you know, all that good stuff, but he's not going to allow anybody to open carry because of what it would do as far as his officers being called hither and yon. And I asked him, you know, well what did they do before 2012? Because before 2012, you could carry a weapon, you couldn't open carry, you had to have the magazine in another pocket, but you still could open carry. And you know, what changed since then? I mean, it's a training issue, but I just get tired of the doublespeak, Mark. You know, anyway, I'm kind of going off on one here. Why don't you bring us up to speed, if you would, my friend, on the court cases that are going on right now, if you could.
Okay, well, my court case, of course, is ongoing, and I have some news here. We're going to win that case if I can afford to keep up with it. So please, everybody listening, you know, if you can afford to throw a couple of bucks at a Second Amendment case, I'd sure appreciate it, because the attorneys need to be paid. And 100% of the money goes to the attorney. Nobody keeps any. There's no paid staff. The attorney gets all the money, 100% of the money. No one else gets any. And that's being handled by Pecan, and maybe Wynn can read the address to that in a minute.
I can do that right now. The address to send your check to, and remember, the check needs to be made out to Pecan, P-E-C-A-N. And then in the memo portion of your check, put 2A, or Second Amendment. And then you can mail it to 14421 Old Oregon Trail, Suite B, like boy. Again, 14421 Old Oregon Trail, Suite B, Redding, California, 96003.
So my case is ongoing, and it's an open carry case. What we're saying is the state of California has legislatively banned the Second Amendment through Penal Code 25850, which bans the carry of a loaded weapon outside your house. And there are no exemptions to that in 25850. 26400 bans the carry of an unloaded weapon outside your house. And by the way, 25850 doesn't say openly or concealed. It's just an outright ban. And 26350 and 26400 are the ban of carrying unloaded weapons outside your house. Now, there are exemptions in 26150 and 155, and they're the concealed carry permissions. Now, here's how the case is structured. The Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, en banc, and it has not been reviewed by the Supreme Court, has said that concealed carry is not a right. It is not your right. It is a permission. States can ban it, regulate it, charge whatever they want, require whatever kind of training they want. They can tell you what gun you can have, what gun you can't have, how many you can have, how many bullets it has, or anything else for that matter. So, and even the Ninth Circuit in Peruta v. San Diego said, if there is a right, it's open carry. So that's what we're suing for, because 25850 bans the open carry of a loaded weapon, and then the others ban the open carry of unloaded weapons in the state of California. And the state admits that they have given all authority over who may carry and who may not carry in the state of California to sheriffs and police chiefs. So your right has been reduced to a permission, contravening Supreme Court dictate and Supreme Court order. You don't have a right unless your sheriff says you do, and he says you don't. Terry just told you that. He says you don't have that right, and I will never allow that right because I might be afraid of you, the citizens that I was elected by. You scare me, except when you vote for me, then you don't scare me. So now the Case Bruin, who is the Attorney General of the state of New York, the New York Rifle and Pistol Association, just hit the Supreme Court. And essentially, the Bruin case is a lot like my case. It's not exactly the same, but it's pretty darn close in its major elements. The state of New York has said you may not carry a weapon outside your home unless a state individual gives you permission to do so. Okay, so you have to have permission from the state to exercise an enumerated right. And that permission is tailored and specific, and you have to have extraordinary cause. There are geographical limitations. Sound familiar? Because permits in California are based on geography. You have to apply in the county where you live. Some kinds of permits you can't exercise outside the county. Some kinds of permits you can't exercise in certain cities. And it's a lot like New York. And California and New York are among seven jurisdictions that don't allow any form of carry unless the state gives you explicit permission and there are details on how, where, when, and why you could do this. And only certain individuals can obtain this permission, and they have to show an extraordinary need over the average person. The average person can't get permission at all because you can't show just cause, where people who are under direct threat in the opinion of the state can't. And that direct threat is never enough, usually. I mean, in Santa Clara County, your direct threat has to be you give $5,000 to the sheriff's reelection campaign. That's the direct threat that'll get you a permit in Santa Clara County. And there's a big investigation going on about that. So there's corruption in this, there's graft, there are all the elements of evil are in this. But anyway, the Bruin case just hit the United States Supreme Court. Now, I've listened to the oral arguments for that probably 10 times now because I didn't want to miss anything. And New York is going to lose. There are five justices that have made it very plain that the Second Amendment is not to be treated like the way that New York and California treats it. Now, I don't know how much we're going to win. Will they strike down the shall issue and, or excuse me, will they strike down the may issue and make it shall issue? Will they strike down the show just cause? In other words, the extraordinary need for the permit. They'll probably strike down that as well. Will they strike down the permitting process itself? That's my hope. Because if they strike the need for permission, and even Justice Kagan, who's a screaming liberal, said, I find it contradictory to note that the Second Amendment is the only amendment that requires permission for its exercise. How do you reconcile that, she said to the state solicitor general, who was a dumpster fire, by the way, an idiot, and they couldn't answer the question. So perhaps if God smiles on us and we pray with all of our hearts, they may strike the need to ask permission, and they can. They have the power to do that in that case. Now, the New York Rifle and Pistol is going to win. That was very clear from the oral arguments. There are at least five justices who are dead set against what the state's doing. And believe me, when they talk to lawyers in the Supreme Court, they're not actually asking questions. They already know the answers. They already know how they're going to vote. What they're doing is they're pitching this to the other justices who may be undecided in order to convince them to vote the same way. And that's very clear from the arguments themselves. So New York is going to lose, and the people of New York are going to win that case. We don't know to what degree, and once they win that case, that's not a get-out-of-jail-free card for us. My case still has to proceed. George Young's case still has to proceed. Charles Nichols' case still has to proceed. But we will have the absolute Supreme Court decision behind us, which means it's going to be impossible for us to lose those cases. And in addition to that, the Supreme Court intends to do one thing, and this was very clear from the oral. They're going to eliminate the method that California uses to steal your liberty, and that is the balanced interest method, where does the state have more of an interest to take your rights away from you than you do in maintaining your rights? And here's how they do it. Oh, public safety, public safety. We can't have people exercising an enumerated right because it would endanger the public. That's how they do it.
Yep.
And that's what the sheriff was saying to you. Well, I can't have you exercising your Second Amendment guarantees because people might be afraid.
Yeah, we.
So what he's saying is public safety outweighs your individual, God-given, 200-plus-year-old right to defend yourself in the state of California.
And he can't protect us anyway.
Right.
Well, not only that,
the Supreme Court is going to eliminate that, and they're going to mandate that all courts use text, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed, history, 250 years of open carry in California, and tradition. And the tradition in California is that people have always been able to defend themselves. They've never not been able to defend themselves until less than 10 years ago.
Mark?
We will win if I can keep paying.
Right. Now, something that was said yesterday, I keep doing that, don't I?
Yeah.
It must be Saturday.
It's your age.
It is.
It's catching up to you.
It's the senility. Anyway, on Friday, downstairs, before we did go up and see the sheriff, I talked to a captain there who was there with a couple of other civilians and said, he basically said, yeah, I think that we should have open carry. And when I went upstairs, I had let Sheriff Johnson know that when I was in Anderson, I talked to a couple of young police officers there, and they told me, in fact, this is a quote from one of them, at least if I see a guy open carrying, I know he's a good guy. Because a criminal would never open carry like that, you know.
And most likely if they're...
You know, and he told me, and the sheriff told me, well, that's just his... I don't believe that. That's just his opinion. And I said, well, aren't we talking about opinions here? I mean, you know, at what point do we have to start getting... Are we going to have permission to redress grievances pretty soon? Are we going to have permission for freedom of the press or freedom of speech pretty soon?
You already have to have that. There's a free speech box at the college.
Okay. Yeah, the free speech zone. Yeah, free speech zone.
Well, what about people thinking like sovereign citizens of this great union versus being continue thinking like they are Californians that have been dumbed down and put in a corner for so flippin' long? Why not step out of that box and grow a pair and act like the citizens that you are supposed to be? Grow up. Act mature. You know, be an adult about this whole situation. It's not like we're handing out... asking if you want a candy bar or something stupid like that. It's about your rights. It's about your protection.
Well, besides that,
it's your protection.
The Second Amendment is not a mandate. It's not mandatory. In other words, just because the Second Amendment's been in the Bill of Rights for ever since basically the founding of this nation, 1803 or 1801 or something, it doesn't mean you have to carry a firearm. If you don't want to carry a firearm, you don't have to.
That's correct.
I don't care whether you do it or not.
That's right.
But I have the right to do it. That's why they call it an individual right. So if firearms scare you and you don't want to defend yourself, okay. Or let's say you want to defend yourself but not with a firearm. Carry a taser. Carry pepper spray. Carry a rock if you want to. But the point is you have the absolute unalienable right to defend yourself against harm, and against tyranny. That is your right and given you by your God at the foundation of this nation, and really it's an absolute right because you're born a free and independent human being. You have the right to protect your life. What good's your life if it doesn't belong to you and someone can take it? What good's your life if some sheriff or some idiot police chief says, you have your life, but I'm going to be the one to defend it if anyone does? Because if he doesn't do it, then no one will, because you don't have the right to do it anymore.
Yeah, you know, one of the things too that the sheriff had said on Friday. Trying to wake Wynn up here. He's really engrossed in the chat room. But anyway, one of the things that he had said is, do you think that people should have automatic weapons? And I said, well, you're the employee of the people, and you're here to serve the people, and the people are your bosses. Are you saying that you guys should have weapons that we should not be allowed to have?
Mm-hmm.
And he just kind of looked at me. And he said, and I just told him, I said, you know, you're just over your head. You know, really and truly, the bottom line to this is you have no right. You have no rights anyway in your position to tell your employers, the citizens, that they cannot do something that's a God-given right and protected by the Constitution.
You know, William Blackstone said, and this automatic weapon thing comes up, and it's a straw man argument.
Unbelievable.
It's a false narrative. In other words,
what a disappointment.
You know, people say, well, should you be allowed to own a nuclear weapon? Should you be allowed to own a fighter jet? Well, first of all, it's not against the law to own a fighter jet. It's not against the law to own a cannon. It's not against the law to own a tank or a half track. But in the National Firearms Act, in the Miller v. United States case, they made it against the law to own a machine gun. And quite frankly, I don't see why. And William Blackstone said that the musket itself is incapable of giving offense. It's an object. It's not a person. It has no feelings. It has no thoughts. It can't do anything without a human being behind it. Therefore, the musket cannot give offense, and if it is the man that gives the offense, well, we have laws to deal with that. So if you were not allowed to have a machine gun, and you misuse that firearm in any unlawful way, brandishing, burglary, robbery, whatever, then you're prosecuted for that. But the gun itself, doesn't matter what kind of gun I have, I could have 1,050 caliber machine guns, and not one single one of them would ever do anything wrong because I wouldn't use them unlawfully. And if you're a crook, do you really care whether the sheriff thinks you should have a machine gun if you want to have one? I mean, you're going to have it anyway because you're a crook, and by your very nature, you break the law. So who cares what he thinks if you're a violent felon?
Yeah.
You see where I'm going with
that? Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I'm with you.
Well, it all comes down to
law-abiding people are law-abiding.
Right.
That's why that young
police officer in Anderson said what he said. And even though that young police officer, two of them, in fact, and that's why they said what they said about open carry, and you know who the good guys are. And, you know, it was unbelievable to see the look on his face the whole time. It was like, man, I'm not trying to be disrespectful, but, you know, really and truly, how can you possibly have these blinders that you've got? And if you're not up to the job, then why'd you take it?
Well, it comes down to personal responsibility. If you're going to be a sovereign citizen of this nation, act like it by being responsible. You have to be responsible. You have to take responsibility for your actions. If you do something stupid, there are consequences for that. So if you're going to carry responsibly. And everybody that I know that does carry are responsible about that. And I can't imagine somebody going out and carrying and being irresponsible with it, because there are going to be some serious consequences if something should happen. And then they're going to forfeit the ability to carry.
Well, here's a good one. Statistically, according to the National Firearms Institute, people, lawful individuals who carry are statistically the most law-abiding people in the nation. They're even more law-abiding than police officers are as a group. People who carry lawfully are less likely to commit a crime than any other group of people in the United States.
Yeah, and here
what does that tell you?
Here's the thing that really threw me, and that's an excellent point. And this is what really threw me. I said, you know, really, Mike, the thing is if people go ahead and they take their CCW class, and they go through all the hoops, so they go do the training, what does it matter on where they carry the gun? Because isn't it about the discernment when they use the weapon? That's what the whole training's about. I mean, they still have the weapon under a shirt or under a coat.
Or in a purse.
Or in a purse. What if a lady has it underneath her bonnet? What's the difference? The point is it's about the discernment of when you use the weapon, number one. And I said also, you know, your predecessor, one of your predecessors, because you've now had two, said that he believed that carrying concealed is tactically superior. And I asked him, then why do your officers carry open? And his response was, because it's a deterrent to crime. So I said, so basically what you're saying is that our employees, you, our employees should have a protection and a deterrent that the employer shouldn't have? Is that what you're saying? And he just looked at me. I mean, you just...
Well, they can't answer those questions.
That's because it's common sense.
Right. It's not only common sense, but it's legal sense and it's
legal
constitutional
sense.
But this isn't about the gun. This is about power and control over the people who they have subjugated. You are subjects of the government of California. You're not a sovereign citizen here. Read the law. Read the Penal Code 25850. You have no rights here.
Unbelievable.
Sad but true.
It is sad but true.
Well, it's true, but we can fix that, and we're trying. Please help me. I mean, look, what we need to do here in the state of Jefferson is we need to win one of these things so we can send these guys a message in Sacramento that we will not stand for it, that we will not tolerate their tyranny, that we will not tolerate their despotism, and this is a legal, moral, and ethical way to do it, and we can win this. We're going to win this case if I can afford to pay for it. That's all it takes. This, you know, folks, I hate to break it down like this, but this is a matter of money. We can take our liberty, at least a big piece of it, back from the liars, criminals, and tyrants in Sacramento if I can afford to pay for this case.
Okay, let me get...
I hate asking for money, but that's the end of the conversation.
Okay, well,
if I can afford to pay, we can win.
Let me give the address again so people can send checks, cash, money orders, whatever they want to send. You send it to Pecan, P-E-C-A-N, and also make the check out to Pecan. And in the memo portion of the check, write 2A, or Second Amendment. And then the address for it to be mailed to is 14421 Old Oregon Trail, Suite B, like boy, Redding, California, 96003.
Mark, we've got 2 minutes left. Bring us home, brother.
I think that people need to really wake up to the fact that our liberty in California is gone. We've allowed this to happen. It's taken a period of years. I'm not blaming anybody. It just is the fact. But we don't have to leave it that way. We are the people. In Article 2, Section 1 of the California Constitution, we have all the power. Government was instituted for our good. And it is our right and responsibility to alter that form of government anytime the public good demands it. Here's your chance. Stand. If you stand now, standing in the future is going to get a lot easier. If you don't stand now, we will come to a point where we cannot stand. Think of your kids and your grandkids who may try to grow up in this state. Here's our chance to reclaim some liberty. Let's not miss it.
Amen.
Sounds good, my friend. Well, folks, you've been listening to Jefferson State of Mind, M-I-N-E. I want to remind you all that tomorrow we have a podcast at 9:30 on Mountaintop Media. You can engine search Mountaintop Media and Facebook.
Yep.
And Jefferson State of Mind, again, M-I-N-E. We're going to have on Katie Gorman. She's a young teacher, and she's going to tell you what's going on in these counties and what's happening to your kids in school. Well, yep. Most of your parents know it. And thank God for these young mothers, huh?
Amen. Thank you again, Mark.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate you. That was Mark Baird. Anyway, it's Terry Raposa and Wynn Carpenter saying, hasta la vista. Time has come.
For 51.
Let's get it done.
Amen.
We all have have to pay. It's not our bill. We have no say. You don't serve us. You serve L.A. The time has come for 51.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.